Amen. Thank you, Brother David. You did a good job this morning. Appreciate you and filling in for Brother Hicks. You remember our travelers today, the Hickses and the Clemens and others that are out traveling. And let's pray that the Lord bring them home safely. Again, we appreciate everyone being here today. As we've said already, I want you to pray for me as we endeavor to speak the things that I feel very deeply in my heart that this is what God would want me to speak on today. As I said, I was driving on the interstate, and oftentimes I'll say, well, Lord, what do you want me to preach on in faith? And I'm very specific. Lord, what do you want me to preach on Sunday at faith? And He specifically told me, and when He specifically told me the subject I would have to preach on, I started to back up a little bit and say, well, maybe that's maybe I need to preach something else, you see. But you can't, you cannot bargain with God. You can't negotiate with Him. I'm going to tell you, He's a lot better negotiator than I am or anyone that's ever been on the face of the earth. And so I'm going to be preaching on atonement today. I'm going to be preaching on atonement. But that's not the way God gave it to me. He said, I want you to go and preach on unlimited atonement. So in order for us to preach on unlimited atonement, I've got to present a doctrine that's been out there for a long time, and it seems like it's raising its head again, and that is limited atonement. And so I want to ask everyone that's here, because I think it's very important as a pastor of the church that you understand what I believe. But you also have to understand what Scriptures teach. And as a church, I believe that we're going to take one of the two ways the doctrine is presented, especially in today's society, how that we as a church believe the word atonement is presented. And so we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 5. You're going to find in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, you will find the word atonement there. And we'll get to that in a few moments of time. But as you turn your Bibles there, you might want to write down a couple of definitions, because I'm going to give you the definition of what limited atonement is, and then I'm going to give you the definition of what unlimited atonement is. So as you turn there, and if you want to jot this down, you can. If not, I'll be more than happy to give it to you at a later date. But if you go on the internet and you find the word limited atonement and the word unlimited atonement, I'm going to give you the definition of limited atonement first. Limited atonement, or definite atonement or particular redemption, is a doctrine accepted in some Christian theological traditions. It is particularly associated with the Reformed tradition and is one of the five points of Calvinism. So there's five points of Calvinism, and one of the five points, and this one is number three, is John Calvin, believed in limited atonement. So you might say, well, what does really a limited atonement mean? I have a book called A Doctrine of Divine Election by D.M. Jackson, who also wanted to go over this subject. And I want to note that the third of John Calvin's doctrinal thesis of a limited atonement is this. The doctrine defined. Calvinists mean by their doctrine of the limited atonement, now listen close, that Christ's death was not for all of Adam's posterity, but only for the elect or the sheep, the ones they claim God decreed in eternity to be saved. Says Mr. Calvin himself that it is the result of the divine will that salvation is freely offered to some and others are prevented from attaining it. And speaking of the common mass of mankind, he goes on to say that some are predestinated to salvation and others to destruction. So says Calvin's Institute, Book 3, Chapter 21, and quoted from the book, The Doctrine of Divine Election. So, in essence, what a limited atonement means is that some are predetermined to be saved, and some are predetermined to be lost, and there's not anything you can do about it. Brothers and sisters in Faith Missionary Baptist Church and everyone that is listening to me today, I firmly disagree with that doctrine. I firmly believe that the Scriptures teaches us that the atonement from God is unlimited. Unlimited atonement, sometimes called general atonement or universal atonement, is a doctrine in Protestant Christianity. Now, that's what the definition says. But I also believe that it's a firm doctrine of missionary Baptist churches. It is a firm doctrine of the true church that the Lord set up. I firmly believe today in my heart and my convictions is, and every song that we sang today, from the very first song, I wrote everyone down. Brother David, he prayed about what to sing today. The first song was Love Lifted Me. And from every song that we sung, it goes right along with what we believe as unlimited atonement. But there are Baptists in the world that believe in limited atonement. Did you know that? They're called hard shell Baptists. They're called primitive Baptists. They are called those that took up the doctrine of Mr. Calvin in saying that there's just a few select or elect people or sheep that would be saved. But that just does not agree with what I believe the Scriptures teach. And so as we get ready to go into this message, I told you it's very difficult for me to expound upon these things, but it's very assuring to me to know that Jesus saved my soul. And I want to be able, in my weak way, to tell you what this means. So unlimited atonement, sometimes called general atonement or universal atonement, is a doctrine in Protestant Christianity, or the true church that Jesus set up, that is normally associated with Amiraldinians and non-Calvinist Christians. The doctrine states, listen, that Jesus died as a propitiation for the benefit of mankind without exception. Now, that word propitiation was brought up in our Sunday school lesson today, and I'm going to bring it up where it is in the Scriptures in just a little while. But this is firmly what I believe the doctrine of unlimited atonement is. It is the doctrine that states that Jesus died as a propitiation for the benefit of mankind without exception. What does that mean? It means this, and I'll get to this in a little while, but for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can close up the Bible and say, well, that's good enough for me, just one verse of Scripture. But I said, I want us to understand what atonement is, and what atonement and who atonement is for, and I believe the Apostle Paul does an excellent job of telling us that in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, it says that Christ died for the ungodly. Now that's another thing that they just don't seem to understand. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for me. There was a point in my life that I needed God, that He wasn't in my soul. And so it says that He died for ungodly people. And so if He died for ungodly people, that means He died for all people. Why? Because He said in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then Jesus died for all mankind. Now, let's go on. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. It says, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the, what? Atonement. And so the word atonement here, you know what it means? It means reconciliation. That's what the word means. The word here, atonement, that we find in the 11th verse, by whom we have now received the atonement or reconciliation. And let me make mention of this, because a person that truly believes in an unlimited atonement believes that when God reconciled us to Him, He reconciled us to God by faith and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did we do? We trusted in Him because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection by Jesus Christ. That's what the reconciliation or the atonement is to any and every person that's ever been. Let me make this statement. I firmly believe that the gospel and being saved by the grace of God and through Jesus, through faith in Jesus Christ, is available to every person, no matter who they are, no matter what they are, no matter where they live, no matter what creed they are, no matter where in this universe that they are, God's gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is available to every person that's ever been born into this world. I firmly believe that. Why do I believe that? Because of what the rest of the things that Paul said. He said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon just a few people? No, it says it was all men. It says it was passed unto all men. It says, for that all have sinned. Not just a few elect people, not just a few sheep that are out there. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, it says, came that He would die for the sins of all human beings. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of Him that was to come. But now, as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now you might say, well, why is it just abounded to many? I'll tell you, when God wants to save someone, He will convict him with the gospel. But it's up to the sinner, it's up to the person to just receive the preaching of the gospel and react accordingly and properly to the Holy Spirit bidding their heart to come to Jesus. It's still up to the individual. God does His part. He always has. He always will. But it's still up to the individual to come to Jesus just as they are and seek Him for the salvation of the soul. And so it is abounded to many. And you know who the many are? It's the many that saw herself in a broken condition, in a contrite or crushed spirit, and saw that there was no hope for them. And the only hope that we have is in grace through Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that any person will ever have. He said, but what about those that we talked about that today, that are in countries that don't hear the gospel, that don't get the opportunity? I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it ought to move us with compassion that are truly saved by God's grace to spread the gospel into the entire world so that everybody would have the same privilege and opportunity as us. It's up to the church. It's up to the preachers preaching the gospel and missions. That's why we call ourselves missionary Baptists. We call ourselves missionary Baptists because we want people all over the world to understand that the unlimited atonement of Jesus Christ is available to every creature. Jesus even made this statement. Some said, when are you coming back? He said, when the gospel's preached in the entire world, then I'm coming back. Brothers and sisters, I believe that it's already been preached into the entire world. And many have done just as they did in the days of Christ. And they turned away from it. And they believe this heresy, they'll believe that heresy, they'll believe this doctrine, they'll believe that doctrine. And yet there's some that are even saved that believe in limited atonement. And I, for the life of me, don't understand how a person that's truly saved by the grace of God could even think that God, and don't get me wrong, God has all knowledge. I understand that. And the foreknowledge of God, it is proper. God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. And He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. That's where that means, that He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. That means He's omnipotent. And He's also He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. But you know what? It would be a sad thing to think that you have to give your only begotten Son to a few people when He gave His blood for all people, for all mankind. This is what Paul said. He said, for as by one man's offense, I stopped reading at verse 16. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. I underline that because it's true. It's everyone. All men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift comes upon just the elect few. Doesn't say that. Just a few sheep. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says, brothers and sisters, upon all men is the justification of life. It comes to all men. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as we get ready to go further into this message, I want you to understand a few things about why that we firmly believe in unlimited atonement today. Now let's turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll find the word whosoever here. It says, brethren, my heart desire is for Israel, is that they might be saved. His desire was not just for Israel. He's writing here saying, I want all of my kinsmen to be saved. I want my brothers to be saved. I want my sisters to be saved. I want everybody that's an Israelite, a Jew. I want all of those that are chosen of God to be saved. But then God says, I want you to go preach to the Gentiles. Isn't that what He said? Absolutely He did. He sent him to preach the Gentiles. You say, where's that? Acts chapter 9. Let's go over and read that. I just want to follow the Lord. I feel very, very comfortable now in preaching these things. But I'll tell you, when you're to the point where you just say, God, I give up. You're going to get it's going to be your way and not my way. Then He helps me. And so that's what I decided to do today, is just give in and let God, and I'll let the chips lie where they are, whether you believe in limited atonement or not, or whether you believe in unlimited atonement. I'll let you take that up with God. I'm just going to preach you my convictions. You see, Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. But then when God called him to preach on the road to Damascus, this is what Jesus Himself said. The Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear, he said, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Jesus says, not only do I want you to go to the Israelites, I want you to go to the Gentiles. That's in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. If you wanted to write that down, I don't have it written written down here, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to enter that in there. And so as we look at that, it'll be the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 15 and 16. And so now let's go back to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Israelites. He said, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I can just shut my Bible up and say, well, it looks like Paul believed in unlimited atonement. Why? Because he says that for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth or trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you not understand about everyone? That's pretty simple. So now, let's go a little further. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. When God called me to preach, it was very, very vivid, and it was just as plain and clear as anything, that when He called me to preach, He called me to preach the Word of God and to preach it to anyone that will listen to it, anyone that will hear it, and anyone that will react to it. And He didn't want me to limit it to just a few people here and a few people there, but He called me to preach the gospel to the entire world. And what He says to do is preach that the only hope that anyone has is in my Son, Jesus Christ. So I preach, and so Paul preaches, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He didn't limit that to this one or to that one. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That ought to be enough, but Paul didn't stop there. He said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It doesn't say the Lord over all is rich unto that which call upon him. He said all. Underline that. But then the real verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't sound very limited to me. That's unlimited. That's unlimited. Do you know what that word means, whosoever? The Greek word means everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look it up. The word whosoever means everyone that. Let me reiterate that. The word whosoever means everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say only these select ones or these elect ones. It says everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We said the word propitiation is a key word, and it is. You know why? Because without the propitiation of Jesus Christ, there would be no atonement. There would be no reconciliation. There'd be no hope for anyone. But because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, He has made the gospel available to every creature. Every creature. I just don't understand why people don't see that. But I don't know if anybody's having trouble with this. Maybe you're not. But I really came here today to preach what's on my heart and what the Lord laid on my heart. You see, I think maybe John was having to address some of this because he said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I'm not saying this one's a false prophet. I'm not saying that one's a false prophet. But what I can tell you is what the Bible says. And it says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit." And the spirit, it's been working on me. The spirit of the Lord's been working, but I'm going to tell you, the spirit of the devil has been working overtime on me to the point that even this morning that my wife said in the car that the devil has been fighting us hard. And she was exactly right. I probably would have scared everybody even worse than I did when I jarred off into the interstate. But I just want to say amen. I want to say amen. God is so powerful. And Satan is raging and he's doing everything he can to even take this little minute doctrine and put it in the mind of somebody. If I got up here and said, "Well, okay, everybody that's saved, you sit over here, and everybody that's not saved, you sit over here. You that are saved over here, you're going to go to heaven. There's no doubt about it. Why? Because God elected you, and you're His sheep. But you over here, you just have to wait to see if God deals with you, because it's limited to just a few of you, and the rest of you is going straight to hell." Isn't that what it's saying? God doesn't work that way. Never has, never will. He is taking the things that seem impossible to man and made possible. You see, when God looks down, He looks and He sees two classes of people. He sees the saved, He sees the unsaved. You know why He sees the saved? Because the blood of Christ and the atonement and the propitiation of Jesus Christ has covered our sins by the blood of the Lamb. When we trusted in Jesus Christ with all of our faith and just pleaded with Him to be merciful to me, a sinner, and God saved me. And if He saved me and He saved that old publican, He'll save anybody. "Where hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." Don't let me leave those people hanging over here. Let me make this clear. Everyone over there that hears the gospel and the Lord convicts you of your sins, you can be saved by the grace of God. 100% of you. 100%. But you'll have to come God's way. It's not your way. It's not my way. It's God's way. And there's only one God's way. Do you know what that is? I'll go on the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me." But that is available to every human being. And those that are not at that right capability of mind, I believe firmly that God takes care of them. I really do. And they're not subject to that. But God's going to take care of them. But listen to what the Word says, and I'll try to close. It says, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. I hope I'm reading in the right place. Yeah, I'm reading the right place. I'm the 1 John chapter 4. Thank you. Maybe that's why I needed to stop. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5. It says in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them not. We are of God. The reason we are of God is because we heard Jesus Christ speaking to our heart through the Holy Spirit, and we sought the Lord and we got saved. And so we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us, whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, let us one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. How was God's love made known to you? When it first was made known to me, I was very afraid. I wanted to run from God, just like Adam and Eve. But then I realized that in order for me to experience the true knowledge of God and the atonement that He atoned for me and the reconciliation, I would have to come just like I was and call upon Him just like anyone else that's truly been saved. So listen here, and I'll close. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son of the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word means the appeasement. That word means, and the way the propitiation was, is through the sacrificial atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the sins, and I'll say it again, and I'll repeat it again, the sins of every person ever born into this world, from the first one until the last one, until the Lord says, time shall be no more. I firmly believe in unlimited atonement. I believe this church does, and I believe there's many that do. And if you heard this today and you're thinking to yourself, because I don't mean to embarrass him. He's not here today, but if he was, I'd say it anyway. One of the last things I asked Mr. Doug, the last time I asked him, are you saved? I want to tell this church what he told me. He looked at me and he said, I've been too big a sinner to be saved. And I said, but I'll be honest with you. I said, Doug, have you killed anybody? No. I said, have you murdered anybody? No. I said, well, then God can still save you as long as there's breath in you. And the reason that is, Satan will take just a doctrine by Mr. Calvin and put it in the minds of people that think, well, if God's not dealing with me, I can't get saved. Well, I deny that. I firmly believe that there's breath in you and you want to be saved. That even if you're dying on a cross and you've done wicked things, you've murdered, but you see just at the very last moment of your life that you deserve to die, but the man in the middle did nothing to deserve to die. And all you said was, Lord, would you remember me?
when you come into thy kingdom. And I believe with all my heart, if it's sincerely from your heart, whoever you might be, and you mean it from all your heart, that God will respond in the affirmative by saying, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So no matter how wicked you think you are, God's grace through His Son Jesus Christ was enough and is enough to save every human being that will call from the depths of their heart and be saved. Now, I believe this with all my heart, and I hope that you'll search it out. But today, there's just a lot of this doctrine again in the Reformed Church. That ought to be enough to make you run away from it. We don't need to reform the church. The church was established through Jesus Christ and the doctrines of Him. He's the chief cornerstone, the apostles. They are the layers of the teaching that we can stand on. And nowhere do I find where Jesus ever said that these are going to be saved and these. He did say that there would be many chosen, many called, but few that would be chosen. And that was because they would not answer. You know, I call a lot of people, and I know they're there. You have to. You know they're there. You know they hear it, but they don't pick it up. They don't pick up the phone. They won't answer you. And I believe there's a lot of people in the world that God has called. There may be some here today. He's called on your heart. But until you answer Him, not me, not the church, not some society, until you answer Him, He'll call, He'll call, and He'll call. When will He not call anymore? Well, I'll leave that between the individual and God. But God's got that under control too. As long as there's breath in you and God's dealing with you, I believe with all my heart that you can be saved just like me and just like anyone else that's been saved. That's the message. I tried to keep it as simple as I could. I'm not trying to bash any doctrine. I'm just trying to tell you what I believe. And I firmly believe in unlimited atonement. Anybody have anything on your heart before we go any further? Bless you, Joseph. We had to run out last week. Didn't get to shake anybody's hands. I appreciate your prayers. We got to the funeral and were able to take care of that the Lord wanted us to do. And so today, as we come around, shake hands with each other. The altar's always open. Pray for Mr. Doug. Pray for others that have gone a long time in this life and just haven't stopped long enough to get this atonement business worked out with them and Jesus. But it's still available, and I pray with all my heart that everyone would just follow the Lord in everything that He bids you to do. Thank you for listening to us today. Good day.
Page 66, How Great Thou Art. Thank you.
Any word, testimony, anything on anyone's heart before we're dismissed today?
Thank you, Lord, for making me so glad to be here today to hear the message.
Thank you, Brother Terry. Appreciate these words. Anyone else?
Appreciate
all. Amen. We do serve an awesome God. Anyone else? Thank you, sister. I was going to have a prayer and I was going to make those comments because I really didn't want that all over Facebook. But I do want to. My heart is just broken. We've lost some really good ministers that have been saved, that have taken up with this type of reform doctrine. And again, as she has already said, they're going after our young people. And oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I don't know if I'll pick up the doctrine anymore, but that I had to preach this today. I tried to get out of it. But I want you to know how I believe, if anything, and what the Scriptures teach as well. And so pray that the Lord would gain these men, these young men back. We need them. And the Lord needs them. So thank you, Sister Barbara, for those words. And let's pray for each other. Anyone else have anything on your heart? Yes, right. Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Mary. Anyone else? Thank you for listening today. Thank you for coming. Pray for me. And I'll go on the record. I'm not asking for a debate with anybody because I'm not going to debate anybody. I know what I have believed and I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded in my heart that what I have said today is scriptural. And we serve just God is awesome. And there's just no limitations we can put on Him. He's saved people that I thought never would get saved. But you know what? That's how big God is. Anybody else? Bless you, man. We're going to pray.
I like to say a word, too. When I was in the Navy, I traveled around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Far East.
Yeah.
And I was in 5, 6, or 7, or 8 countries in the Far East. And there's no churches over there. Except the other time, he was in the Far East.
Mm-hmm.
And then here she was, the church of the Yamaguchi was just about 90 miles from Hiroshima, up the mountains. Mm-hmm. And now you just go to college there. But no one else was taken. Hajima and Brother Henry Smith. And Brother Smith wasn't able
to
go. And vice versa. And I've seen the world of people, a lot of people. And, of course, up to Hiroshima, out of Tokyo, with John was up there. He is from one of the churches he did. Now he lives in, he's passed away now, but his family and his church up in Washington, Oregon. Very, very active over there. Very, him and his aunt and uncle had come through back from the early days. And the Blaylocks had a church over there. They visited our churches and they were sounding out. The preacher is not out in any of the other world.
Help us, Lord. Amen.
They're completely in darkness. And even what we're just a bad here in America.
Amen.
The majority of the 90, 95, 98, 99%
yep.
That's the little thing about it. It is so that I have experienced
God.
I sure enjoyed what this sermon. I wish the world could have heard it.
They may have.
I hope they did.
Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Standing together, we'll be dismissed. Brother Joseph, would you pray our benediction today? All right. Amen.